We turn in God's Word this morning to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, we're going to begin reading at verse 17. The text we look at will be taken out of verses 20 and then 28 and 29. I mean for this to be a text that introduces us to family visitation this year. You may have noticed that the family visitation passage that we're using is not this passage. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 1. But what I desire to do here is to give more of an overview, and I'll explain in the sermon too, of what family visitation is as it arises out of Scripture itself. So it's my desire to lead into family visitation by preaching on what family visitation is. So Acts 20, beginning at verse 17. Background here, Paul's returning to Jerusalem from his third missionary journey. He knows that he's going to be in prison because in the end he's going to preach the gospel in Rome. And then he calls for the elders of Ephesus to meet him. And then he speaks to those elders. That's what we have here in the end of Acts 20. Verse 17. And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, Ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you, and have taught you publicly, and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day, that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember, that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, It is more blessed to give than to receive. And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. And they all wept sore, and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more. And they accompanied him into the ship. And thus far we read God's word. As I said, the text this morning is verses 20 and then 28 and 29. Verse 20, Paul says, And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, especially that. And then 28 and 29, Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we pray thy blessing upon this word that is brought here today. Lord, bless us as a congregation as we prepare to have the elders come into our homes and visit with us. We are thankful for this good practice of family visitation, and that the Lord Jesus Christ cares for us and protects us through the work of the elders whom he has given in our midst. Bless the elders in their work as well, and may they be encouraged in it by this word that is spoken today. More than that, we pray, Father, that we would see Jesus Christ and we would see his great love and the care that he gives to us as his flock. We pray, Father, for strength for thy servant who stands before us, that he may speak the word in clarity and in truth and with great boldness. We pray this for Jesus' sake. Amen. I'd like to take a moment at the beginning of the sermon this morning to remind us of what family visitation is. Family visitation is not a social visit. It's not a time where the elders come to have a cup of coffee with you in your homes and just to chat for a little while about the weather and maybe a few things that are going on in your homes. It's not that. Family visitation is not either a time for complaints to be heard about the church or things that are going on in the church. There is a right time and a place for complaints that people may have concerning decisions that a consistory makes or things that are going on in the church, but family visitation is not for that purpose. Family visitation is instead for the comfort and for the instruction of the church. Family visitation is an annual visit of the elders to each of the homes of the church to comfort and to instruct with God's word according to the needs that are found in that home. We see and understand that for us, family visitation is something prescribed. It's something that is mandated for us. It's a precious heritage of ours from our Reformed tradition, and we understand it to be good. It's something that's found in our church order. It's referenced twice in our church order, Articles 23 and 55. You can go home and take a look at those articles in the church order. If you have the green hardcover book with the confessions in it, you'll find the church order in the back of that, Articles 23 and 55. Article 23 is an article that deals with the work of the elders and their calling, and half of that article deals with the calling that they have in family visitation. That's how important family visitation is. And it says that family visitation is there for the comfort and the instruction of the families of the church, and also to exhort or admonish when that is needed. Article 55 emphasizes later in the church order that family visitation is one of the ways in which the elders in the church ward off false doctrine and errors. So at the very end of that article, you have a reference to family visitation as a way in which that is done in the church, telling us family visitation is for the protection of our families and the protection of the church as well. Another way to put it is that the annual family visit is like an annual spiritual checkup. Maybe some of us go for an annual physical to our doctor to see how we're doing physically. Well, family visitation is something like that. It's a spiritual physical examination. The elders come in and check on how we are doing spiritually and then comfort us and instruct us with the needs that we have, whether they are our sin struggles that we have or we're struggling with the circumstances of life that we face. But what it is that we want to see and understand this morning is that family visitation, then, is a way for the elders to carry out the calling that they have been given. This morning, from the scriptures, I don't want to overstate the case. I don't want to leave you with thinking, if a church doesn't do family visitation exactly the way that we do it in the Protestant Reformed churches, then they're not a faithful church because they're not following the truth of Scripture. You're not going to go to a passage in Scripture and say, family visitation has to be done exactly in the way that it's outlined in our church order. But on the other hand, I don't want us to think, well, family visitation isn't such a big deal. Family visitation is a way for the elders to carry out the calling that they have been given. And we find that especially here in Acts chapter 20, as Paul's speaking to the elders of Ephesus, and he says to the elders in Ephesus, this is your calling as overseers. Shepherd the flock. But that's in the context of Paul saying about his work in Ephesus that he had taught them publicly, but also from house to house. And when we put that together, you see and understand that there is a calling for pastor and for elders, not only to teach publicly, but also to do that from house to house. And one of the ways that is done, there are many others, but one of the ways in which that is done is by family visitation in Reformed churches for a very long time. So what we see in the text is that, how the elders shepherd the flock from house to house, as that's carried out in this good practice of family visitation. So what we want to do is look at the calling of elders and apply that to family visitation as we go through the text. So we consider the text then, with that in mind, using this theme, shepherding the flock from house to house. We notice first the calling that is given here to the elders. Secondly, we're going to look at the importance of this, really the need for this in the church. And then finally, the possibility. How is it that this can be a blessing for the church? First of all, the calling. This calling is rooted in the office of elder itself. Two things we notice about the office of elder as that comes out of Acts 20, verse 28. The elders there are called overseers. That's one of the two main words for elder in the New Testament. They're called overseers who are called to feed the flock. And the idea of feeding the flock is literally shepherd the flock. So the elders are overseer shepherds in the church. And that's where we see the importance of family visitation. It's a way for the elders to oversee and shepherd the flock. This is why this work belongs to the elders with the pastor. This is the idea of the office. The elders are overseers. Yes, they oversee the pulpit and the preaching of the word that is done publicly. But also the elders are overseers of the members and the families of the congregation. So that as overseers, they comfort those who are hurting. They discipline the sheep who are stubborn and rebellious in their sin. And they guard and protect the church from the attacks that come upon that church. Attacks from a false doctrine and false teaching. Attacks from a wicked world in which we live. And attacks from Satan himself. So the elders, in their work of oversight, are called to guard the souls of the congregation. But they are to do that as shepherds. Shepherds. And for our understanding of what a shepherd is, we don't just look at someone who takes care of sheep here on this earth, but we go to the ultimate example of what it is to be a shepherd in God Himself as He is revealed in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is called the Good Shepherd. And He is the Good Shepherd who loves His sheep and cares for those sheep and protects His sheep. He is the one who so loves His sheep that He purchased those sheep by His death. And those sheep that He loves, because He died for them, He continues to care for them and protect them. This is the means, then, that Jesus Christ does that. He does that through the work of the elders. The elders, as it were, then, manifest this shepherding work of Jesus Christ in their work and in their callings. So the idea is, when the elders do their work, they're constantly pointing to Christ, the good shepherd of His sheep. And His care, they're reflecting His care and His protection and His love. How amazing is that love and the care of the good shepherd of the sheep. The elders do that in their work. But that brings out another part to this. That we all, and that includes pastor and elders as well, we are all sheep. As you've heard me say before, that is not a flattering comparison. You don't have to know much about sheep to know that. They're some of the dumbest animals that are found on the face of the earth. And they have no ability to take care of themselves. If sheep don't have a shepherd, they die. If sheep don't have a shepherd, they'll eat things that will poison them so they die. They'll eat drink germ-infested water. They sometimes can fall over and roll over, and if they get stuck on their back, they can't turn themselves over. They will wander astray. They'll go astray from the flock where there's at least some protection by being together. And as soon as they wander off, they're easy, easy prey for a predator. We are like sheep who go astray in our sin. Sheep are weak and needy and foolish. And that's us. Weak and needy and foolish. But as those who are weak and needy and foolish, we have a shepherd. And the best shepherd. The good shepherd. Jesus Christ. And He's the shepherd who provides everything that we need. And one of the things that He provides for us is these overseer shepherds. Overseer shepherds, elders in the church, to lead us and guide us in truth and in wisdom. God, in His great wisdom, has provided for us shepherds to teach us and instruct us. And that's the calling, then, of the elders. They're called to minister to the spiritual needs of the church, and one of the ways in which they do that is in family visitation. So just as the shepherd makes sure the sheep are fed, that's what the elders do in family visitation. They make sure the sheep are fed. They guide them where they go astray. They correct them with the rod and staff of God's Word. They protect them from danger, from the predators that are lurking around us, and from the spiritual poisons that are found as well. This is the work of the elders, overseer shepherds. Now the Word of God comes to the overseer shepherds and says to them, in regard to their work, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock. I'm going to focus on that second part. Take heed therefore to all the flock. Take heed to the flock. That word take heed means be attentive. Be attentive to the sheep. Be attentive to the needs of the sheep. When we understand that that's the meaning of the word take heed, be attentive to them, there are two things that come out of this that we see as callings for the elders that are carried out in family visitation. The first is, the elders must know the needs of the sheep. And secondly, when they know the needs of the sheep, then what the elders do is they take heed to the flock by bringing the Word of God to those needs. So first of all that, the elders must know the needs of the congregation. And this tells us one of the great purposes of family visitation. It's to know the needs of the sheep. That tells us then that family visitation is not something that's intrusive. I must say that when I was first a pastor and I began doing family visitation on a regular basis, I did fear it and I dreaded it and I would get so nervous before I went out because I felt like I was being intrusive. But that was the wrong way to view it. By asking some questions of the families, it felt that way, but it's not. And that was the wrong perspective that I had. That was the fear of man that had taken hold upon me in the beginning of my ministry as a young man. But now you see and understand, and we ought to see and understand it as well, beloved, that family visitation is beautiful because it's a way for the elders and the pastor as well to know the needs of the sheep. The elders must know the strengths and the weaknesses of the families and of the church so that those strengths and weaknesses can be addressed rightly with the Word of God. That means knowing the families of the church. And the elders strive to do that and ought to strive to do that. Know the needs of each of the families of the church in a particular way. And that's what we do in family visitation, often asking at the beginning of the visit, what's changed in the past year? What's going on? Are there any struggles that we don't know about that we can help you with? So that we can bring the Word of God to you and your particular needs. That tells us again, and it's a good reminder, that family visitation is not either a Bible study. I could have said that at the beginning in the introduction. Family visitation is not a Bible study. We pick a passage to look at, but it's not to exegete that passage and go over it with fine detail notes, to bring out of that passage things that God says to the particular needs of the family. And sometimes that passage doesn't always fit very well. And so we'll maybe go to a different passage because that fits better the needs of the family at that time and in their present circumstances. Family visitation isn't meant to be general. It's meant to be specific. So expect, beloved, that when the elders come into your home, they're going to ask you some questions. They're going to be probing a bit, just like a doctor would in a physical examination. He's going to probe a bit, and he's going to ask some questions. And so also the elders, they ask some questions of you to get to know you and your needs. And as a congregation, we ought to be ready to express those needs, knowing that the elders aren't there to whap us over the head then if we are struggling with some kind of sin, but they're there to help us in our time of need. If we go to them and say, I'm struggling here, this is really difficult for me right now, the elders are there to shepherd. They're there to help. They're there to comfort. They're there to guide. And so the elders, when they come to visits in your home, will be asking some questions to know your needs. And they will listen to the things that you have to say. But the second thing that's part of this taking heed to the flock then is in knowing needs then, the elders bring the Word of God to those needs. They bring the hope and the comfort and admonition where that is needed as well. That's why family visitation is not a social visit. It's not just a time to find out the latest of what's going on with the family, but it's bringing the Word of God to these families, the Word of the Good Shepherd. It's bringing the Scriptures to those needs and determining, is comfort needed for this family? Then we'll bring a word of comfort. But if admonition is needed for this family, a word of admonition should be brought. And we should expect that in our homes, that the elders will bring a word that is fitting and appropriate. And that will be brought on the passage that we're looking at this time, 2 Corinthians verse 1, which has a beautiful focus on comfort and how it is we even comfort one another. But part of this and what the elders do is they make sure that the church, the congregation, is being fed by the Word of God, that we're receiving a steady diet of God's Word and sound doctrine is taught and applied in the church as well. And so often the elders will be asking about the preaching as well, and that you are being fed by that preaching and making sure the congregation is growing under the ministry of the Word. So this is the idea of the work of the elders. They take heed to the flock. They know the needs of the flock. They bring the word to the needs of the flock. And now they do that in particular at family visitation. Now, why is this so important? Why is this needed here within the church? Well, there are three things that come out of the text that show the importance of this work of the elders in being overseers, shepherds in the flock, and doing this particularly in family visitation. First of all, the elders are appointed to this work. So the work of shepherding and overseeing arises out of the very fact that the Holy Spirit has appointed them to this. That's what the text says. Over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers. Jesus Christ, through the work of the Holy Spirit, has separated men for the offices within the church. We believe this. We believe that the Lord Jesus Christ does that through the work of the Spirit. The Spirit equips certain men to do this work. And then Jesus Christ, through that work of the Spirit, even uses the process of nominating and voting for men so that they are called to do this work and, we believe, qualified for the work as well. That's something that we have had opportunity to look at as we've gone through the book of 1 Timothy and looked at the qualifications for the offices that are listed there and have seen as well that it is the Holy Spirit who equips men and calls them then to this work in the offices. It is the Holy Spirit then, we see, that equips the elders for this work of taking heed to the flock. Why is that so important to understand? That's important to understand because even when it comes to family visitation, and you have two elders or a pastor and elder who comes into your home, that tells us that we are to receive them in a certain way. We're to receive them as the servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're to receive them as men who are called and equipped by the Holy Spirit Himself to do this work. And that means for us as a congregation, let me pause there for a moment. We've already looked at what this means for the elders. They've been called and equipped, therefore they're overseers, they're under-shepherds, and they have a work to do. Now this is for the congregation in the way you receive them. The way in which you are to receive them is in this way: you are to cooperate with these men. When they come into your home, don't give them the stiff arm. Welcome them warmly into your home as the under-shepherds that the Holy Spirit Himself has given. They're not perfect. They don't pretend to be. They ought not to pretend to be. But they are called of the Holy Spirit to this work. Let us understand that membership in this congregation and in the Protestant Reformed churches means this. We will welcome the elders into our home for these visits once a year. We won't look at this as intrusive. We won't look at this as something that, they're coming in and they're going to dig around and, they might do some probing and they might do some poking, but they do that in their love for you and their love for your home, understanding how difficult it is for us as sheep to live in this evil age in which we live. See them as blessings then from God, gifts from the Holy Spirit who come into your home to instruct and to comfort. And so therefore, we're not there to just put on the best display that we can. It's not about getting all the standard bearers out and the coffee table then and making sure they're arranged all nicely and in order on the table there so that the elders see them. No, we're going to be very open and honest about the real struggles that we face. Struggles with the screens that we have in our homes and struggles with having family worship regularly like we should because of this and that and the other thing that are going on. Open and honest about those wanting the encouragement and the help of the church and wanting the help of the elders because we want the help of Jesus Christ Himself. Family visitation isn't a time for smoke screens. It's not a time to distract. It's not a time to try to get going on a tangent, off in a different direction. It's not trying to control the discussion or give instruction ourselves to them because they're doing it all wrong in our own minds. And we receive them and we listen to them as those who are called by the Holy Spirit. That, first of all, the importance of this has to do with their calling by the Holy Spirit Himself. Secondly, the importance and seriousness of the work is indicated when the text speaks of the church as those who are purchased with His own blood. How amazing are those words, which He hath purchased with His own blood. What's amazing about those words is that the word that comes before it in the text is God, which He, God, has purchased with His own blood. That's striking. Why does the text put it that way? Well, the text puts it that way for a reason. It's not to overlook the work of Jesus Christ, but it's to indicate and show to us that when Jesus Christ died on the cross, it was very really the Son of God who died upon the cross. And this is what makes it true that our redemption was accomplished by Jesus Christ. Our redemption was accomplished only when we understand that the one who died upon that cross was and is the very Son of God. Only God could make payment for our sins, and that is what He did when He took upon Himself the guilt and the punishment that we deserved for all our sins. And here, you see, is the very hope and the comfort that we need in our homes. It's the comfort of the gospel. It's the comfort of knowing that the purchase price was paid so that we can have life and fellowship with God now and forevermore. What this points out to us is that this church that the elders are going to see in their family visits, this church has been purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. That tells us, now I almost hesitate to use the language, but it works. It tells us how valuable the church is to God. Not that we have value of ourselves, that's not what I'm saying, but He so loved us that He purchased us with His own blood. There's nothing higher or greater that could be given for our redemption. He gave Himself. There we see the greatness of the love of God and the greatness of the love of Jesus Christ for His church. And in His love, this God who gave Himself and His Son, He also gives us elders for the care and the protection of the church. Can you stop and think about that for a moment? What is so beautiful about the truth of the Word of God is that the most practical things and callings that are found in the Scripture always bring us back to what? The cross. To Jesus Christ. Elders coming into your home is an application of the cross of Jesus Christ. God in His love gave His Son. And in His continued love for us, He gives elders who are overseers and shepherds of our souls. And in His great love, He sends them into our homes. There are times of need when they're sent into our homes and pastor comes over. But there are the regular times, once a year, when the elders come into our homes. It always takes us back to the cross of Jesus Christ and the love of God for us in Jesus Christ. That's what this is about. Family visitation as well is about Jesus Christ and His saving work. These elders who come are the servants of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit has called them and separated them for the work. Not only that, but the ones that the elders visit are the sheep. They're sheep along with them, but sheep of the Lord Jesus Christ, loved of God, loved of the Holy Spirit. And in the love of Jesus Christ, the elders come and they encourage and they comfort and sometimes say hard things. What you're doing here is wrong. You mustn't do that. You mustn't live that way. You must have regular family worship. You're not doing it. They have to say hard things sometimes. Maybe they have to say such hard things they're going to say, we're not going to say these things now, but we're going to schedule another time when we're going to come and visit. We're going to have to talk about these things. But understand, beloved, that's the love and the care of Jesus Christ reflected in these men. We want that from them. And we should expect that from them as well. All of this rooted in Christ and His cross. To put it another way, we need the oversight of Christ through the elders of the church. We need it because we're dependent upon Him. And He gives us the care of the elders. So we need this spiritual checkup once a year. To see where we're at. So that's the second thing. It's rooted in the cross. The third thing that shows the importance of this and the seriousness of this work are the dangers that the church faces in this world. That's verse 29 and really the verses that follow as well, where Paul says, "For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock." And then he goes on to say, "Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore," he says, "watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears." Paul warned, and now he's saying to the elders, "Elders, you need to warn as well, because they're going to come into the church grievous wolves. They're going to come in those who attack the church, and those attacks are very real." The Church of Jesus Christ in this world is always under attack. We know that when it comes to sheep. Especially sheep in the days when the Bible was written, sheep who are up in the mountains in the summertime, feeding in the summer pastures. And there's no fences to protect them. There's just a shepherd with them. And the wolves come. And the bears come. And the lions come. And what are the kind of sheep that they go for? Well, they go for the weak ones. Those who are hurting. And they go for the lambs. That's what happens in our day as well. Satan and the world attacks those who are struggling. He attacks those who are weak. He attacks especially the young. The church today needs to be aware of these attacks. Not only the attacks of false doctrine, but also the attacks of the ungodliness and wickedness of the age in which we live and the attacks of our own sinful flesh. There is sin that exists within the church, and it threatens the church. It threatens the peace and the unity of the church as well. And thus, what we need is protection. And the Lord Jesus Christ, in His wisdom, has seen fit to give protection through the elders of the church, and even this, they're coming into our homes. There's a great danger in our day that there would be complacency when it comes to doctrine, that we would not see doctrinal error, but there are also the dangers of materialism and worldly pursuits in this age of prosperity in which we live. I've mentioned already the internet and the screens as well, and that we entertain ourselves constantly, even entertaining ourselves to death. And the elders come into our homes and they warn us of those things. They say, do you blocks on the internet to protect your children from those things? But also, are you keeping the world out on your devices, on your televisions, and all of the rest? the elders come into our home to warn us of these things, the attacks of the wolves and the enemies. So the elders aren't there just to know the flock, but they know this world, and they bring the warning of the Word of God. It's so important that this be done. This is why it is important. And finally, we consider then, how can this work be a blessing? How can the elders do the work? But also, how can this work be a blessing to us as a congregation so that we are protected, so that we are comforted, so that we grow together as a church in unity and in peace? Well, again, the passage points us back to the one who is behind all of this work. It's not about the elders and their skills and their abilities, or the pastor and his skills and his ability. The work that the elders do in family visitation, remember, always points us back to the chief shepherd, the good shepherd of the church. And so here again, as we end this morning, we see that it is the Holy Spirit who appoints to this work and He equips for this work. Elders, be assured that the Holy Spirit will equip you for this work that you do. Some of you men going out leading family visitation for the first time, don't be afraid, as I was in the beginning of my ministry. No, bring the Word of God in confidence, in the confidence that the Holy Spirit will use this. The Holy Spirit will use the Word and the visit of the elder for good. It's the Holy Spirit who provides wisdom. It's the Holy Spirit who even provides the right words to speak when we have things that come up that we are surprised by and we did not anticipate at all. We trust in the Holy Spirit. But also we trust that through the work of the Holy Spirit, these visits will be a blessing to us in our homes. Thus, we ought to look forward to it. I remember even growing up, that in our home, I remembered over the years as I got older that family visitation was something to look forward to. So even after the elders left from family visitation, I can remember many nights sitting around the kitchen table after they left and saying, my dad saying, yeah, we need to talk about a few things. And the visit basically would continue with just our family. And what a blessing that was. And we ought to look at it that way too, not just get through it. They're out the door. What a blessing that was to have the elders come here, and they brought the word to us, and they encouraged us, they brought comfort, they spoke some hard things to us, and we need to get some priorities straight again. But we're going to talk about these things. We're not going to lose it now once this has happened. The possibility for that is in the Holy Spirit too, who uses the word for good. And that's it. It's the word that is brought. Elders, we trust in the power of the word. Families, we trust as well in the power of the word. That word that is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. The word of God never returns to him void. It softens and sometimes it hardens according to the purpose of God. And so that's what we trust in the power of the word. Listen to the word. The word of God that is brought. Elders, bring that word. Congregation, receive that word from the servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we have family visitation in this year again, may we be reminded of the great blessing of this for our homes. Jesus Christ and His love for us gives us elders who are committed to coming into our homes, visiting with us, teaching us the word of God, hearing the concerns and the struggles that we have in our lives, all for the glory of God's great name. May God bless these visits. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for this word and the word that was applied not only to the work of the elders, but to us as a congregation in the family visits that will begin this week. We pray, Father, for Thy blessing upon this word and Thy blessing then upon the visits. We pray that the elders may come in a right spirit, that they may come as the servants of Christ looking to shepherd and care for the flock. And may the elders be received by the families in love in the love of knowing the love of Jesus Christ Himself and knowing His care and protection that He gives in His great love. And so we pray that this would encourage us as a congregation in peace and in unity in the truth of Thy Word. Father, go with us in the rest of this day in our fellowship with one another. We thank Thee for this good gift and bless us as we return here tonight for worship again. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.